It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you. Tuesday's always fun on the show. It is Jacob Albrecht alongside Tommy Kester. Jad Chambers back in studio there producing for us. He's manning things for us. We've got Chiefs insider Dan Israel coming up a little later in the program. Certainly got to get to that. There was a ton we didn't have time to get into yesterday that we will begin to expand upon a little bit today. We had the Shockers in action last night. We've got it all for you. We'll give away a little bit of HTO for you later in the program as well. Get you ready for a K-State basketball game tonight. Of course, this is the home of Wildcat Athletics. It's all coming for you here. And the IHOP hotline's open for you throughout this first hour at 869-1240. IHOP, by the way, introducing a new Indiana Jones and the Great Circle themed limited time offer menu featuring fully loaded French toast, the Great Circle of Cinnamon, layered with rich cinnamon spread, drizzled sweet cream, cheese icing. So get over there. Anyway, that number is 869-1240. Making me hungry over here. Tommy, how are you this morning?
Hey, that sounds great. I wish I had that right now. That sounds like a pretty incredible breakfast. Kind of does my banana that I had for breakfast to shame, kind of puts that to shame. Looking forward to getting into it today. We've got a lot to talk about.
You big breakfast guy? I know you love breakfast. Everybody loves breakfast, yeah. So don't get me wrong. But do you eat a big breakfast, I suppose, is the better question.
Not all the time. I mean, usually that's kind of like a weekend thing. Usually I'm kind of flying through the morning and getting out the door. And, you know, I'm a big fan of like the grab and go, you know, like grab a quick granola bar, grab a banana or, you know, something like that on the way out the door. But no, I'll sit down. I enjoy like a good, like greasy diner breakfast. Nothing beats that.
Yeah.
I could do that all the time. And in fact, I look forward, hopefully someday in my life, to be like that retired old guy that goes to the diner each morning to read the newspaper and eats breakfast, like, you know, has like my coffee cup at the diner that they give to me. That's what I'm looking forward to someday.
Yeah, you'll hit that, and then you'll go play golf, and you'll have a beer at the bar after.
Yep.
You'll have early bird about 4:30,
right,
in bed by 8.
That
doesn't sound bad.
In fact, I wish I could do that starting right now.
I'm too much of a night owl for it, but you just push all that back and I'd be into it. I'm you know, most days in the craziness of getting, I'm a bowl of cereal guy during the week, but I'm with you. I could eat diner breakfast for every meal. But anywho, you go to IHOP, they'll take care of you. Okay. Let's start with the Shockers. I'm not real sure where to start with that game other than to breathe a sigh of relief that they didn't get beat in a bye game by statistically one of the worst teams in the country. I mean, Monmouth in the KenPom is like 294, you know, out of about 350. They are big, bad, not good. Temple beat them by 30-29. Wichita State survived. That, first and foremost, that's all that matters, like, realistically. They're not going to win a lot of style points in that one. That one's not going to help them analytically, but it could have really, really hurt them. So they avoid that, and that's the good news. As far as the game itself, look, I don't know what to make of it. I know Quincy Ballard didn't play. Did that have a factor into why they were as slow going offensively as they were? I'm not sure. Ronnie DeGray had to leave the game. So really, they didn't have their traditional, you know, bigs in there. And maybe that's why they suffered to some degree. I don't know, Tommy. Thankfully, they hit their free throws late in the game. They did not in the first half. That was a massive difference. That first half, they missed 10 free throws in the first half. You know, you look at the final outcome, you hit half of those, and now we're talking about a 10-point win maybe, and we maybe feel a little bit different. But they did hit them down the stretch, and they didn't hit any threes. They were 2 of 15. So we've seen a little bit of Jekyll and Hyde from behind the arc, which honestly we expected. We didn't ever think this was going to be an elite three-point shooting team. They have shown signs of, you know, getting hot from there this year, which are encouraging. But I think we do need to focus in a little bit. There was adversity here. It was not their night from behind the arc. Okay. It was a game where they didn't have their bigs, essentially. It, on one hand, they survived it. But on the other, they still should not have been that tight with Monmouth, even with all of that being said.
Well, you know, they also got out-rebounded by Monmouth. And I know that, I mean, a large factor is not having Quincy Ballard in the lineup. That's going to hurt you for sure. But
and DeGray for most of the game.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you don't, when you just look at the final line, you don't want to be out-rebounded by a team like Monmouth. You know, I think that also you have to keep in mind that other than Xavier Bell, who came off the bench, there were no bench points from anybody else. And I know they were extremely thin because DeGray had to leave, you know, and they didn't have Quincy Ballard. So you're dealing with a short bench. You're dealing with not much depth in that game. Honestly, I think it says more about Wichita State than it does about Monmouth. It's not like all of a sudden, you know, Monmouth is going to, you know, go on a roll and start challenging people, I don't think. I think it tells you just it's an off night for Wichita State. They didn't shoot the ball very well, but they were resilient. They were, you know, able to kind of take that gut punch and get back into things. And so I think that at that point, you just kind of chalk it up to, hey, we got out of there. We escaped. We made the clutch shots when we had to. Corey Washington making that clutch three at the end of the game. That was massive. And then the Shockers were able to actually hit their free throws in the second half. So they didn't do what they needed to do in the first half from the charity stripe, but they got it done when it mattered the most. So I think it's one you just kind of wad up and you throw in the garbage can and you just move on. And hope it doesn't become a trend. If that's just a one-off, okay, we can live with that. We can deal with it. They got the win. You move on. You know, you try to be better next time. When it becomes concerning is when that sort of starts to snowball.
Not only did Corey Washington's three at the end, like that was nobody else hit a three. They were 2 of 15. They were 0-for. Okay, thank the stars that Xavier Bell, who he deserves a ton of credit, loved the local guy, hit all his free throws. He was 8-for-8 and hit them all down the stretch. That was massive in that moment. I will be very curious to get the feel, and we should have Kevin Saul tomorrow. I'll be very curious to get the feel and the vibe of that. I have not gone in and listened to the post game. I'll talk to Brandon Zinner today, who was at the game last night, to sort of get his take on what Coach Mills was feeling like after the game, what the players were feeling like after the game. I would just say this for Shocker fans, like, that nobody feels great about that game. Nobody does. Yeah. Up next, though, are some games. You know, they get two games in the next 2 weeks, St. Louis and Minnesota. If, you know, the hope is you just can sort of wash that one out of your mouth and spit it out. Remember, they lost a bye game in 2022, I think it was. So this isn't new. And I think that was the fear last night for Shocker fans. But if they come back and they look, you know, fine with St. Louis and Minnesota, then there's no concern at all. What fear jumps into my head, Tommy, on this is, you know, they started 7-1 last year. right? Like we had a lot of questions. We didn't know what to expect. And all of a sudden they get out to a 7-1 start, you know, with a win over St. Louis and Coastal Carolina mixed in there. And then things unraveled on them very quickly, and they didn't win very many games the rest of the season. So it's not fair necessarily to this group to think about that situation last year, but it's reality. And I think, you know, for Shocker fans, that's the fear right now. Like we kind of got real hopeful there after the first couple of games, and then like, whoa, what the hell was that against Monmouth? Jad Chambers, just so good at his job, has the Mills postgame audio on the 3-point issue. Thank you, Jad. Let's listen to that, and then we can react to it.
1-for-8 in the first half from 3, 1-for-7, and you got to be able to find a way to win games when you're not shooting it well, and that's going to get done defensively, but got a lot to clean up, but it's a good win.
This really is one of those games you could look at all kinds of reasons that you lost the game, and yet you didn't. You found enough ways to get it done.
So whenever our best was required, I thought our guys played our best. I thought our crowd had a lot to do with that, especially the last 5 minutes of the game. But, you know, we just didn't shoot free throws well. Had 21 opportunities there in the first half and only made 11 of 21. But being able to make 9-for-10 in the second half.
You know, I think that pretty much is a summation of how I felt about it, like relief that they got it done. I will say this, the strategy was sound. They just missed too many free throws in the first half. Like you could tell, and they kept doing it in the second half, and it worked better. Like the offensive strategy was to get to the basket and force contact. Everybody was doing it, right? Like the entire roster was doing it. Justin Hill, Xavier Bell, like all the shot makers essentially were just saying, let's get to the line. And I think something you can put in your pocket for later that you like, right? But you can't get out rebounded by that team. And it just like, as we wonder about these things, it does make me wonder, because I've told you this, and I think I've said it here. I know I've said it privately. Like I do have some concern for when Quincy Ballard's off the floor in a game. I think that the team feels different when he's not out there, and that's going to take Mate really, you know, developing quickly to alleviate some of that. Well, he wasn't there the entire game last night, and I don't know how much of that's a direct correlation. I know obviously the rebounding is a total direct correlation to him not being out there, but that concern is amplified a little bit. Like I hope that Ballard is out there, but Ballard has a long injury history with his time for Wichita State. So that is something that we got to take away. Like what happens when he's not out there? Because I haven't thought that it's looked nearly as good without him as it does with him.
Well, you like his experience. You like, you know, the way that he can get up and grab the rebounds. You like, you know, just the physicality that he brings. And with the sprained ankle that he suffered, you know, I don't know if that's something that will linger on, if we're talking about multiple games or if they were just sort of resting him as a precaution. That hopefully that's what it is, because as you mentioned, you know, they play St. Louis, then they play Minnesota in the next 2 weeks. And so you'd like to have Ballard fresh and healthy and ready to go for that. You know, so maybe that was the strategy to sit him out in this bye game and get him ready, you know, for those two future matchups. But if this does linger on, you know, for multiple games, then yeah, you're going to need to, you know, really put a whole lot more on the shoulders of Mate, which I know that you haven't felt like he's quite there, and he does have growth. He does have, you know, I think an opportunity to, you know, sort of acclimate himself to the college game and the style in which Paul Mills wants to play. I don't disagree with you there, but I just think, you know, back to right before the season, man, what if he had not been cleared by the NCAA? Like that would be a major issue because they wouldn't have anybody down low, you know,
I don't know who they'd have. Yeah. And I think he's there offensively.
I think he is too.
I love him as a passer. I think he's a great passer, but I do not think he's there defensively, and I do not think he's there as a rebounder yet. And I hope that those things can come right in his game, because even if that's not his game, they need it to be his game.
Yeah.
It has to be a part of his game because that's what the roster needs so badly.
And look, I don't want to bring up bad memories, although you already brought it up, but remember 2 years ago, and this was even before Paul Mills, you know, got to Wichita State. So it's a much different team, much different situation, environment, all of that. But 2 years ago, they lost a bye game to Alcorn State. The next home game for Wichita State, they play Alcorn State on December 4th. Like, that's the next home game inside Charles Koch Arena. So, you know, look, like, they've got, I think, obviously some things that they need to clean up. I think you might be a little bit more concerned at this point than I am. I'm willing to chalk this up as an off night. And if that's all it is, great. They were short Quincy Ballard and Ronnie DeGray was banged up. That's all it is. Perfect. At this point, I'm not ready yet to sound any kind of alarm or anything. I just think it was an off night. And I think it shows a ton of resilience that they were able to win the game.
I agree with that. I don't want to say that I'm concerned. I'm not concerned, but I'm also not where I was before the Northern Iowa game. Northern Iowa, we're going to look back on and say that was probably a tighter margin because they, you know, they're probably not as good as they typically are. But I'll tell you, Wichita State should have and probably could have won that game by a bigger margin. They chose to really run the clock, which is fine. They won the game. This one, though, like I thought they should have beat Northern Iowa by more. This one, survival is key. Right now for the Shockers in the non-con, right? You'll take them any way you can get them because you just can't really afford the losses there. So I'm good with it. I'm not good with the way they played. They didn't play well. But I'm good with saying, all right, that's an outlier. St. Louis and Minnesota are both off to pretty nice starts. They're both right around the range. Wichita State is in the KenPom. Like, these will be good tests for Wichita State. And I think we'll learn a lot more. I hope Ballard's back. If I'm telling you there's lots of areas of concern, areas to get better. Right now, it is life without Ballard that concerns me greatly. A, because he's got an injury history, and B, because when he's out there, he is prone to foul. And so I don't know like if he's ever going to dominate the minutes in a game. And so they have to figure out a way, like what does the offense look like? How do they, you know, better rebound? Like what are the things that they can do to manipulate that roster and be successful when he's not out there, or hopefully not, but the possibility that he misses any significant time within a game or a handful of games or whatever it might be. Like, that's what has to change quickly, because they're about to play much better teams down low than they played against Monmouth.
Yeah, you know, my ears perked up yesterday when I saw the starting five and I saw that Ballard had a sprained ankle and wouldn't play. I'm like, okay, that's not ideal, you know, for Wichita State, but it's a bye game. They play in Monmouth, should be okay. And hopefully it's just a one-game thing. I haven't gotten any kind of clarity. I haven't heard if we're looking at this being, you know, something that lingers on. I think my ears will perk up a little bit bigger come Friday night against St. Louis and Kansas City if he's unable to play in that game. My hope, like I mentioned a couple minutes ago, my hope is that you know, Paul Mills wants to rest him and get him ready for these next two games against St. Louis and then Minnesota, and you know, maybe figure to rest him and sit him in the game last night. I don't know the answer to that, but I'll be a little bit more cautious with Wichita State this weekend if they don't have Quincy Ballard. If he's back and ready to go, then at that point, all right, like, it's full steam ahead. I feel good about it.
That game is Friday against St. Louis. It's in Kansas City at the T-Mobile Center. And then they get a nice holiday, their holiday break, which comes early. And then they play on Thanksgiving Day against Minnesota and then on Black Friday against either Florida or Wake Forest. Let me take a quick check here of what Florida and Wake Forest have been up to this season. Florida's top 20 right now, and Wake Forest is right in the range of Minnesota. So, you know, top 80. So, you know, they're going to get some good games. I think, it doesn't really matter. You just, like, for right now, for Wichita State, like, Wichita State just needs to worry about Wichita State.
And you know what? If they can play the next three games, if they can go 2-1 in those games, You know, I think that you feel pretty good about that outcome.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, going on the road and playing in that holiday tournament and then playing in Kansas City this weekend. So I think 2-1, you feel pretty solid about. 1-2. Okay. Like, not great, but it is what it is. I don't think you can go 0-for, you know, in the next stretch of three games.
I'll take it a step further. If they don't go 2-1, I'll be disappointed. I'll be disappointed if they can't get to 2-1 in those games. Because I think that's where they should be. I think that's where they can be. So if they don't get at least to there, yeah, I would say I would be disappointed in that. Because at the end of the day, Wichita State needs to be better than Minnesota as a basketball program. Big Ten, don't care. At the end of the day, Wichita State needs to be better than Minnesota. Needs to be, you know, certainly better than St. Louis. Like, that's where Wichita State, like, we need Wichita State to every single year be a top, I'll be nice, top 50 team. Probably should be even higher than that in reality. So, yeah, is that lofty expectation? Sure it is. They've got one of the most experienced rosters in the country with some talented players on it. Like, I don't want to sugarcoat anything. Like, they need to be better than they were last night, but no doubt about it. And I think that they will be. Hopefully Ballard is back quickly. They made it. They survived. Thanks, Xavier Bell, for hitting your free throws down the stretch and giving everybody, and Corey Washington for hitting a big shot. But they've got some things to work on and they got some time to do it. And I remain optimistic on the season in general. But that was not an enjoyable watch last night. How about that?
It was a butt pucker of a game. And I think everybody was, you know, definitely feeling that down the stretch. Actually, probably from the opening tip. I know they took a lead early. I think a 4-point lead in the first half at one point, and then not again, I don't think, until
they opened
the
game, what, down like 9-2, and you're just like, let's not do this tonight. Like, we're already going to have to watch the Cowboys and Texans play. Like, can we not do this right now? And then they just turned, you know, what was going to be, 2 hours of pull your eyeball out, you know, sports watching to 5 hours of it.
One good thing, too, and we didn't really talk about him much and we didn't really give him a ton of credit. Corey Washington. I know Xavier Bell hit his free throws.
Yeah.
Corey Washington was about the only offensive threat in the game. In fact, I didn't even realize this until I was looking at the box score. Players not named Corey Washington last night were a combined 0-for-11 from the 3-point line.
That's correct. I have a problem with 5 turnovers from Corey Washington, but yes. Yes,
I'm not going to complain about that. We had to have him on the floor.
Had to have it. Had to have the points, and he got them. Those are good things you can take away. But Shocker fans survived it. On to the next one. We'll just throw that one right in the trash can. Hopefully, that's best case scenario. All right, you mentioned it there. Also in the non-enjoyable watch category was Monday Night Football. We can touch on that. I think, you know, the Texans are the interesting piece. They ended up with a big margin of victory, but did they do anything last night to elevate themselves, I would say, back to the level we thought they would be at the beginning of the season? We'll answer that question. We'll talk about it all. Lots to come here on Sports Daily. Dan Israel, our Chiefs insider, top of the hour. Don't go away. We're coming right back. Welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. Crestview Country Club has you covered this fall. You can still play a little golf. You can always play tennis. And you can celebrate the holidays there at Crestview. You're like us. You don't have family in the area. We'll go over there. We'll have Thanksgiving brunch. Might even do a little New Year's Eve there. But you can check it all out. They have social memberships that don't involve the sports. They're a little more affordable if that's what you're into. You can give them a call. Tell them we sent you over from Sports Daily. Appreciate that. Appreciate their support of the program. Tommy, as we get ready for, our Chiefs insider, let's quickly hit on Monday Night Football. I don't know, man. The Cowboys are so stupid. And I mean that as literally as I can. you go into a game against the Texans and you've got, I don't know what the score was, 17-10 at half. Never more really than a they were never way out of the game until the very end of the game. Cooper rushed through the ball 55 times. 55 times.
Yeah.
How is Mike McCarthy still the coach of this team? You go like you draw it. I could just sit in the coach's meeting. All right, guys, you know, here we don't have Dak. We got, you know, we got Cooper Rush here. He looked flipping terrible last week. You know what we ought to do against a team that's, you know, not amazing against the run? Let's throw it 55 times. 55 times. What do you think's going to happen with that kind of pass rush that the Texans bring to the table? Cooper Rush at quarterback when you throw it 55 times.
Well, I mean, you know, from a positive note, he had more passing yards than he had in the game last week against the Eagles.
Yeah.
That's not hard to accomplish, though.
This isn't a knock on Cooper Rush. Cooper Rush is whatever. It's a knock on going into any game and allowing him to throw it 55 times.
Yeah.
Against a team that can rush the passer like they can, and against a team that you ought to be able to run it a little bit on. It's like they ran it five times in the first half and didn't get much out of it, and it was like, all right, we're done with that. Like, no more of that. Let's not run the ball. And look, if Rico Dowdle's not good enough to run the ball that many times, you brought in Zeke Elliott. What
I mean,
was
he's
the point
a shell of his former self, too.
No, I mean, obviously he is, which we all knew when Jerry Jones brought him in his famous all-in crap from the offseason. I mean, it's just such a, like, it is in, like, it's insanity. So bad.
It really is. And you know what? When I watched that game last night, I had it on in the background after the Shockers game. And really, for me, it was more about, okay, let's actually pay attention to the Texans, you know, and see what they're doing and see how things are working for them. Because let's face it, the Cowboys are absolutely irrelevant. And
it's hard not to stare at that dumpster fire.
Sure.
When it's happening like right in front of you.
It's like a car wreck that you're driving by and you can't help but gawk at it.
Horrible reality television. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like cable news. Right. Like when it's on, like, how do you not see it? Even though you know how terrible and horrible it is. It's like, well, I mean, like, what are you supposed to do? Right. On the Texans, because that is the far more important piece of this for us, because there are a lot of people. I think you were there. I was close to it. I can't remember who I put in the AFC championship game, but you know, the Texans were absolutely a part of that conversation. Maybe still can be. They get Nico Collins back last night. I thought he looked good. I think they've done a very smart thing in bringing him along slowly to make sure he's ready to go. That's smart. I think for them, seeing John Mechie continue to be a part of the game plan is a big deal. Yes, they lost Steph Diggs, but they still have Collins, Dell, Mechie, Schultz, Mixon. Like, they got a ton of weapons. And I do think, and I know he threw an early interception, C.J. Stroud looked at least better than he has lately. I think last night he was still off on a few passes. I don't know what's going on with him. But are they a legit contender in the AFC? I don't know.
Yeah. I think they are.
I think that they're, by definition, they are, but you know, yeah, they are. Especially when they can rush the passer. But if I have to power rank them now, I'm not putting them above Buffalo, obviously. I'm not putting them above Baltimore. I'm not putting them above Pittsburgh. So then do they slot in as the fifth best team in the AFC at the moment? Maybe, I guess. Right. And are you putting them above Denver? Not Denver. Are you putting them above the Chargers?
I think I would right now at this point. I don't know. Here's my thing about Houston is that you went through a list of names, and the name that you mentioned last, I think, is the most important. And that's Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon had 3 rushing touchdowns last night in the game. He was too much, you know, for the Cowboys defensively to take away. And all the focus is obviously on the wideouts for Houston, as it should be, and even what C.J. Stroud can do. And that was the major level of concern when Diggs went down and Collins went down, and then they got really thin at wide receiver. And, of course, now they've got Collins back. Nobody was talking about Joe Mixon. And, you know, he has looked good this season overall. Quietly, I feel like he's kind of flown under the radar when you're looking at, you know, top-tier running backs in the NFL. I think he showed that last night. And again, I know it's against the Cowboys.
They got him for free.
They got him for free. They got him, and he looked really good again against the Cowboys. So take it with a grain of salt. But I think down the stretch, especially if Stroud continues off and on to struggle with his accuracy and that sort of thing, they can fall back on Mixon. And they did that. They have done that. They did that when they were thin at wide receiver a few weeks ago. So I think that that's an important piece of it, and a reason why I do think that they are a legitimate contender in the AFC.
Yeah, I want to call him a legitimate, because I love D'Amico Ryans and I love CJ Stroud and I love Tank Dell. And I really want them to be. And so I'll agree for now. If I'm power ranking them, they're still further down the list. I'm not taking them over any of those four teams, Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Steelers. And I don't think I would at this point over there. I think I trust the Chargers a little bit more. But they're right there in that mix. So Houston gets it done. They're 7-4 now. They're not totally out of the woods with Indianapolis. We'll see what Anthony Richardson does here. But that was Monday Night Football. And it's funny that the story is the Cowboys today. But it's not even, Tommy, that it's the Cowboys, because they obviously always garner this attention. But when we look at the true dumpster fires in the NFL this year, which of course you'd put the Jets in that dumpster fire, right? I don't think you can call, let's say, the Niners a dumpster fire yet. Maybe you can call the Bengals a dumpster fire. By the way, of letting go Joe Mixon for nothing, You don't think they'd like to have Joe Mixon?
100%.
Would that help their offensive
line?
Although
I think they do like Chase Brown quite a bit.
I like Chase Brown too, but he's, Joe Mixon's been just out of this world. But when you look around at the other dumpster fires, I mean, the Cowboys to me sit so far and away ahead of everything else. Yeah. Because you have to consider that they just gave Dak $60 million a year to come back and be the quarterback of that team. The CeeDee Lamb contract.
It's because Micah Parsons, a spectacle. That's why.
Micah Parsons can't get out of his own way. So many terrible roster decisions. And it's so, what's so crazy about it, and this is, me soapboxing as a Cowboys, fan a little bit here. What's so crazy about it is if you just pushed reset on the offseason, okay, and you came in and you did what's needed to be done for a long time, and you're the Cowboys, and at minimum, you trade CeeDee Lamb, you trade Micah Parsons, because you understand your window is not right now. And as great as CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons are, and they are great, they're not going to help you win a Super Bowl. You don't extend Dak Prescott to a $60 million contract. You either trade him or say, play this year and don't let the door hit you. We're done negotiating new contracts with you, Dak Prescott. You get some draft capital and probably some big time draft capital. This thing could have been rebuilt in a year or two. I mean, the way that they draft, it could have been done quickly. You change head coach, bing, bang, boom, you had one bad year, which, by the way, they're having anyway, right? They're having that bad year anyway. And you're right back there. That's the part that is so frustrating. The Jets, for instance, on the other hand, everything that the Jets have done has at least made sense. Hasn't worked, but it's made sense, right? You had these terrible quarterbacks, and it's like, let's see if we can get Aaron Rodgers in here. Great. It's not working. Let's see if we can get Davante Adams in to help him. Great. The head coach, everything they've done makes sense. It just hasn't worked.
They've been proactive, at least.
Nothing the Cowboys have done has either worked or made any sense at all to literally anybody outside of Jerry Jones. That's what's so crazy about it.
Do you remember back to August? And it was during the preseason, I believe, or training camp, and Jerry Jones was waxing poetic about how they sold out season tickets faster this year than they ever have in the entire history of the franchise. And I remember going off on him on that day, and not just on him, but honestly on the season ticket holders. What are you doing? I know they're your team. I know you love them, but why do you continue to support this franchise with your dollars? Why do you continue to pay out the wazoo when they've shown zero impetus or zero proactiveness in doing anything to make this team better? And you know what? This is the first time since Jerry Jones's first year as owner and GM, that year that they went 1-15, that the Cowboys have lost each of their first five home games.
By a ton.
By a ton. So every single one of those season ticket holders who wrote the big fat check to go and sit in AT&T Stadium have seen losses in every single home game thus far. Quit supporting this franchise with your dollars until they show that they give a damn enough to do something to fix it. And
this holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Then that's just not what Jerry Jones does. And so, like, honestly, that's why I remember back in August, honestly, kind of getting on the season ticket holders. Like, you are to blame for this also. You contribute to this also because you continue to subsidize the ineptness of this franchise and allow them to make no decision that makes any sense whatsoever. Stop giving them money. Show your unhappiness by not writing the check.
Yeah, it's there is only one person on the planet who has thought this was a sound strategy this offseason, and it's Jerry Jones. I don't believe that his son believed in this strategy this offseason.
I don't believe Mike McCarthy thought this was a sound strategy either.
Mike McCarthy sucks. I don't think he was.
I mean, if I'm Mike McCarthy going into this season and knowing that my owner and GM gave me nothing to work with, God, I would feel like a lame duck coach. He is. But like, okay, you really don't want me to succeed, clearly, okay, because you're not doing anything to help me out.
You know, the counter to that is, even if the Cowboys did nothing, they've won double-digit games the last few years. So they should be able to be better. And I know Dak Prescott got hurt, but he's been hurt for two games, and they've been terrible for a lot longer than two games, right? So Mike McCarthy doesn't deserve any excuses either, because it's essentially the same roster that was not good enough to win a Super Bowl last year, but was good enough to win like 11 or 12 games or whatever it was. And now they just can't play. Like, get out of here. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. There've been a lot of reasons to be frustrated as a Cowboys fans for the last 30 years. This is more egregious than the Jason Garrett experiment for 25 years or whatever it was that they let him be the head coach. This is worse. This is worse than Tony Romo any respect of a defense ever and wasting his career.
Would you rather have a decade of mediocre football with Jason Garrett than what we've seen this year with the absolute dumpster fire? Because it was a decade of mediocre football. I know they had a couple of bright spots, but man, it was pretty
average. This individual season is worse than any of it. Yeah. In an individual season is worse than when, I don't even remember some of the names of the court, the Quincy Carter experiment, like all the dumb things that they've done. I think this is the most egregious as far as, you know, on the field mismanagement that I've ever seen.
Remember when Dave Campo was the coach? I mean,
I do.
Come on.
I do. Yeah. What other best friend can Jerry Jones hire? Right. It's just so stupid. And we shouldn't even be like, who cares? Right. We shouldn't even be. But it's just, it's again, it's something you can't look away from as it goes up in flames. All right. Well, that's it. We got, we'll talk Chiefs. That'll cleanse the palate a little bit. Top of the hour with Dan Israel. We'll get you set up for a college basketball game tonight when we return. K-State basketball taking on Mississippi Valley State. What do we want to see out of the Wildcats? That's where we head next. I want to say a quick thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every morning here at KFH. Don't go away. More Sports Daily right after this. You want to win some HTO? You can do that right now. Our text to win contest gets you a free iced tea, sweet or unsweet. And you can get a free iced or hot coffee featuring the new holiday classic peppermint mocha, a limited time offering. All you got to do to win those is text the keyword tea to the short code 20357. That's T, T-E-A, to 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. And while you're there, don't forget to pre-order those Thanksgiving gallons. You can get buy 3 gallons, get one free. You place the order and you set a time to come pick them up on either the Tuesday or Wednesday before Thanksgiving. They're ready to go for you. It is very handy and easy to do. So head on over to any of the Wichita Metro locations there, East or West Wichita and Derby, to cash in those free teas and get your Thanksgiving pre-orders in. Good luck, everybody. All right. We were talking about the Cowboys. Got me distracted. All right, quick programming note because we won't have time to fully get into it. We'll do it in the second hour. K-State basketball. They'll play Mississippi Valley State. You'll hear the game at 6 o'clock here on KFH, 97.5, 1240. Or you can listen to it on the Odyssey app if you're sort of on the go and outside of your car. That's always a good way to do that. So check that out. But the Mississippi Valley State, K-State should have no issues. Certainly, we didn't think the Shockers should have any issues last night. And then last night happened with Monmouth, which we talked about. But K-State, they'll go into this, and they are, I'm just looking at a quick line here. They are fourth. Oh, my God. K-State is a 40-point favorite tonight. 40-point favorite tonight. For reference, Iowa State beat Mississippi Valley State by 39. Mizzou beat them by, this can't be right, 82 points. All right. Texas beat them by 46. So, boy, if you thought Monmouth was struggling, Mississippi Valley State is maybe worse than that. Let me just look and see they are the worst team. Okay. So Mississippi Valley State right now is the worst team by KenPom in the country. Worst team in the country. That's who K-State plays tonight, and they are 40-point favorites. What do we do with that? We're going to have to figure something out to do with that. We're going to have some fun with a 40-point line. We'll get into that in the second hour. I had no idea. I knew they were bad. I didn't know they were that bad. They have a win this year. Who do they beat? Who do they win against? Hey, what team is this? Is this even a real team? MUW? Mississippi University for Women. All right. That's who they've beaten this year. Can't make this stuff up. We'll get into this. This is far more interesting than I thought it would be. Now I'm interested. We'll get into that in the second hour. But when we return, Dan Israel, our Chiefs insider, joins us. We'll get with Dan. Don't have to worry about the unbeaten streak anymore. That's good news, right? The Chiefs can focus now, but we got a lot to talk about with Dan Israel. That'll be what we do to start off hour number two. It's Sports Daily. It's a Tuesday. Don't go away.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.